And good morning. It's 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio, I have George Bennett Sr. He's Rural Veteran Liaison with the Alaska Veterans Administration, here to talk about benefits for veterans in the state. Welcome to Morning Edition, George.
Thank you.
Well, you're here on a mission, and that's to help connect Alaska's veterans with the VA. Why is that?
Well, I think since I've actually been working on this job for almost 3 years now, it all of a sudden comes to experience that there's a lot of veterans out there, I believe, that are actually not enrolled. And I think there is a level of importance that they do get enrolled. And because of the different things that the veteran can actually be eligible for, and one is actually we have a sharing agreement with Search Hospital and all the other Alaska Native health providers within the state. So veterans have to be enrolled first in order to be able to utilize those services, both non-Native and Native veterans. And the other thing is that even if they don't get enrolled, I certainly would like to see them at least get some form of paperwork that shows that they have military duty, at meaning of a DD-214 or some kind of a discharge certificate. That's important.
So you want to help veterans connect with the VA, explore what benefits and services are available to them, and at the very least, even if they can't do that, at least get the documentation together that they are indeed a veteran. Can we set the stage here for a minute about how many vets live in Sitka and Southeast Alaska?
Well, according to the 2010 census for Southeast Alaska, there's 16,000 veterans in all the different communities. And you know, we're very rural, you know, so I can understand why some of them are really hard to reach. You try to get them enrolled. They're gradually coming out of the woodwork, though. But it's actually surprising. It's almost 10% of the Sitka population that are actually veterans.
About how many
is
that?
It's pretty close to 700 in this community. And I think I've only been able to identify about 140 as far as either being enrolling them, providing them with information, working with them, with other services through Search Hospital. Many of them are probably, I met the time we just formed the Sitka Veterans Association as well. And so I'm not sure what the status is about the rest of those veterans. So we're probably looking at about 550 out there that are still, I'm hoping they're well-informed and I hope they are enrolled. And if they're not, we certainly would like to reach out to them and get them to contact me so we can get them enrolled.
Well, let's talk a little bit about those benefits available through the VA. What about health benefits?
Well, maybe what we should say is to talk about what they may not be eligible for. One is, maybe I should say this first. All the veterans, every one of them have a difference. They have different circumstances and different situations. And I say that because there's a difference between those that served in combat were overseas in Iraq, Afghanistan, going all the way back to World War II, because those are the veterans that are still around. And so a lot of those guys probably have a lot of different circumstances as opposed to the ones that stayed in stateside duty. But that doesn't say that they're not eligible for anything, but what I am saying is like there are guys that are probably have hearing loss as a result of actual combat duty. There are guys that have probably got PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. But the Veterans Administration will not cover everybody's pay for their eyeglasses. They will probably give them $145 for a payment toward your first pair of glasses. That's about it. They will not cover your dental unless you're 100% compensated through the VA. That means you have to have 100% disability. And the other thing that they will not cover completely is hearing loss. And again, the circumstances that you have will pretty much dictate how all that will come about to the VA. I do not adjudicate nothing. The VA takes care of that. I am just a beginning process of any kind of benefits and informing veterans on what they're eligible for. And they can utilize Search Hospital because of the sharing agreement. And the sharing agreement has actually been a pretty wonderful tool for Sitka. And we have a lot of veterans that come and go and utilize Search Hospital for everything that Search has to provide to them. And any specialty clinic outside of that, a lot go to Seattle or to Anchorage as well.
It sounds like veterans, as you said, have different circumstances. However, you're never going to know what you are eligible for unless you actually apply to become part of the VA.
Well, that's true. I mean, I've had veterans call me. In fact, I had one call me from Minto, Alaska 2 weeks ago. And I used to live in Fairbanks, so the guy must have knew me. Somehow or another got my name and asked me to help him get enrolled. Well, we do have a staff person that's actually that lives in Fairbanks. But I just took it upon myself to mail him some paperwork to get it up there and had him connect with the Fairbanks staff member up there. And so I do connect with veterans in many different ways. You know, I could see them on the streets. I could see them in the restaurants. I could go to the airport. I can go to Search Lighthouse, drink coffee with them. And it's an interesting way of meeting a lot of the different veterans and try to help them out and get them going in the right direction. My concern, though, right now is families are not fully informed, especially when we come to the part where we lose a veteran. And the families need to know what they should do. And one, they need to find the veteran's records. And even though the veteran is still alive, they should take it upon themselves to let the family know, here's my DD-214, here's my discharge papers. If anything should happen to me, this is the paperwork that you will need. At a great percentage of the time, I'm running into a situation where families don't know where that paperwork is at. But not all is lost. I can send for them. But the only problem is it takes time to get the paperwork back. So we try to work very closely with the funeral homes, and the funeral homes are very good in helping us out on that. And so, again, I could talk to families about those, and I've helped them out quite a bit. This is an area that we don't like to dwell into, but this is an area that's a reality. And we can't act like it'll never happen, but it does.
It sounds like relationship is incredibly important to helping vets and their families feel comfortable enough to start exploring this issue. It's worth noting along those lines that you yourself are a veteran, aren't you?
Yeah, we did. And I know some of the biggest questions that I do get from families that lose a loved one is, what will the VA pay for?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I tell them is that the VA will not provide a casket. Again, it's depends on the circumstances. I'm not saying that they won't, but again, circumstances dictates what the VA will help with. And a great percentage of the time, they will not do that. But here's the difference. If a veteran's interred in a private cemetery, the VA will go ahead and take care of a headstone. If he's interred in the National Cemetery, everything is already automatically taken care of, with the exception of a casket, and pay any bills from a funeral home on that. Again, I keep using the word circumstances and situations, and that plays a big role in what happens with a veteran's circumstances. It's a wide field, you know. And there are different laws that interpret what a veteran's benefits could look like. And it goes through a process. It goes through a lengthy process, especially with a living veteran going after benefits. It takes time.
So there's a lot there, but you are available to help vets and their families negotiate through this process. How can people contact you to get help?
Well, they can get a hold of me at my office, and my office number is 966-8776. Anytime I leave my office, I forward all my office calls to my cell phone. I actually like to say that I'm available 7 days a week, even though I get paid for 40. But veterans don't stop being veterans after 40 hours. They're veterans 7 days a week, and so are the families. And so I want to make myself available because I think I'm in a unique situation. My immediate supervisor lives in Anchorage. I'm down here, and so I'm in my office at 8:30 in the morning, and then after that, I try to get out there and be amongst the veterans, just chatting with them. This is where I find out a lot of information.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And then I talk with them.
Well, we are out of time, George. Really quickly again, where is your office and what's your number?
Okay, my office is actually in the Community Health Building, probably for those people that lived in Sitka for a long time, better known as the old BOQ building. You can visit. It has a totem pole in the front. I'm on the first floor in room 104.
And your phone number again? I'm sorry, your phone number one more time?
It's a Community Health building.
Great.
Yeah, I'm at room 104.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoy it.
We've been speaking with George Bennett, Senior Rural Veteran Liaison with the Alaska Veterans Administration.